Blog Talk Radio.
And now on Blog Talk, it's time for Rendezvous with Maggie, featuring Maggie DeVera. Maggie is a well-respected therapist with a successful practice in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she is also the founder and president of Realizing Our Youth as Leaders Incorporated, a nonprofit agency that prepares the most disadvantaged and at-risk youth for life and leadership. Maggie is also a licensed marriage family therapist, psychotherapist, clinical master hypnotherapist, sex expert, clinical supervisor, trainer, speaker, and consultant to musicians, fans, and actors. Maggie brings you expertise and advice on topics that impact each and every one of us in our everyday lives. Rendezvous with Maggie offers vital information that helps you understand yourself and others while providing skills and tools to optimize the experience of life's journey. And now, here is Maggie DeVera.
Hello, everyone. Good evening, or good early evening. Thank you for tuning in to Rendezvous with Maggie, and I'm your host, Maggie DeVera. Today is Monday, July 22, 2013, and it's 6 p.m. here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I'm only saying that because I know that there are international listeners as well. And I'm grateful for national and international listeners, so thank you. And right now, I'm broadcasting from Pacifica, where it's gray and it's overcast. But I love it because I want to stay in a state of gratitude and appreciation and not take things for granted, because I just think it's important, and I want to find or focus on the beauty in most things, especially when I'm in the mind and emotional state to do so. And that's part and parcel of today's continuing topic, part two of tricks, tools, and secrets in making life feel better. So the reason I decided to do a part two is because I just felt where I ended last week, it just didn't do enough justice. And I wanted to cover the basics and broad points that can be applied to most of life's issues that everyone can relate to. But after the show, it had haunted me, and I just felt that there were some other important things that I wanted to add to that. I mean, there's so many things to explore that could take, you know, many shows, but I wanted to provide the broad points, like I said, that can be applied to most issues. Anyway, hence my part two of the show. So I seem to do a lot of part twos, don't I? Anyway, okay, so again, before we kind of go more into the topic, I really want to make a plea to all my listeners to please support our upcoming Royal Unity Benefit Gala and Concert. The website with all the details and how to get tickets online, or even how to donate, if you don't know already, it's www.royalpresents.org, and that's the website for the event, not Royal's website. But again, it's www.royalpresents, royalpresents.org. Okay, and I am just so happy. I'm so happy, and I'm so excited to announce that we'll be having a special performance from Rick Stevens. Rick was the original singer for Tower of Power many years ago, and he was known for the hit You're Still a Young Man. And, you know, he's got a very significant life story, which I feel strongly represents much of what Royal, our nonprofit, organization, what Royal is about. So I, or we, are just so excited about that. And actually, I've talked to him about coming on to the show, and he is, he has graciously and always very cheerfully, in his cheerful way, said that he would definitely want to look into that. Or, well, he said yes, but I don't want to tie him down, which I just did, I guess. But he may be coming on as a guest on the show. Okay. And into to the gala, he is actually coming as a guest to the gala, not as a performer. He's coming to attend the gala, and then he agreed to do a special performance. So that's very sweet. Rick, if you are listening, thank you. And if you're not, whoever knows Rick, tell him that came from me, if I don't tell him first. Anyway, what else is exciting is, I just want to just point out that the reason that I feel it's significant to have him at Royal and even on the radio show is that he has a very significant and, in my perspective, a very inspiring story that I think that many can be touched by. So more on that later. And then regarding the Royal Unity Benefit Gala, I just want to say, I've been kind of repeating this on my Facebook, I just feel so blessed by the loving outpour of support and kindness from all the volunteers and the people who are going to be attending and the musicians. We are featuring Richard Dean. He is such a wonderful supporter of Royal. We're so proud to have him. He's the original singer and songwriter for Suavecito, which reaches the 40th year anniversary this year. So we're very honored to have him celebrate with us. And we have just amazing bands and musicians, really amazing bands and musicians. And that includes a compilation of some of the best and most loved Latin rock musicians in the Bay Area that Mio Timbalero Flores has really worked hard to try and pull together. And that the compilation is comprising of the Latin Rock All-Stars band for Royal. And also headed by Mio Flores, his band Flow, the Funky Latin Orchestra, and that's going to be featuring Juan Escovedo and Anthony Blaya. So that's very exciting as well. And then we have Los Cochinos, and Los Cochinos has been an original and longtime supporter of Royal, and actually Alfonso Portillo, the leader of Los Cochinos, was on my debut radio show. It was very important for me that he be a part of that. And so you can listen to that show if you want anytime. It's in the archived shows. And then we have two new bands on the scene that are very hot. The Rumores Rock in Español, led by Alfredo Lazo, who has really graced many local bands here with his fiery talent, and now has his own band, Rumores. And then Lumbre, who I had the opportunity to see last night, headed by Robert Banda, and great, great sound. Robert has a wonderful voice, very smooth. And so I'm very excited to have that. And I'm just so excited, and I pray, and I have to believe that it's just going to be a beautiful, magical night with the elegance of the formal or semi-formal flair. And it's at the beautiful Fort McKinley with dinner, dancing, and just special, wonderful stuff. So, yeah, okay. Please try and come. And at the very least, if you can't make it, please consider making a donation. Our website is www.royalinc.org. That's YALIFC.org. We work very hard to keep our mission going, and it's been a major undertaking to do this with so many financial crises in our nation and what everyone's going through. But we've made it to 10 years. I can't believe we made it to 10 years. No, actually, I can't, because, you know, that in itself is just so humbling and truly something to celebrate, because, you know, we've had to close almost half a dozen times, and then some miracle swoops in at the last minute, and here we are, 10 years, and we kind of go month by month to see if we are going to be alive. And we've served over 2,000 plus disadvantaged or highly high-risk kids, individuals, and families, and on a very humble budget. And it really is due to all the love and support and volunteerism and hard work and efforts of so many that have allowed this to happen. So thank you to all of you, and thank you, Lord, for letting us be a part of something big in or creating, hopefully being significant in this lifetime. And thank you for all of those who have made it happen. Okay, and so here we go on to our topic. And I wanted to kind of recap on last week, which, by the way, if you haven't listened to it, please go back and listen, because this is part two. And there's a lot of important elements that I think you'll have to hear or know to put some of the things that I'm discussing here in perspective. But, you know, I'll just quickly mention it. I'll touch on it quickly. I think I have most of it here. One, decide on how you want to feel. That's an important thing to first do. You have to accept and be open to trying to feel better. So you have to want to feel better. And then the other thing is to just, you know, accept and know that life is hard, and that we're all human. We're all going to experience pain, hurt, anger, negative, traumatic experiences, regardless of how many skills we've mastered. We're going to experience the hard stuff. You know, what we do with it it can make a difference, but, you know, things will happen, things that we can control, sometimes can control, and sometimes we just can't. But know that there are things to do to make life be or feel better, and then know that it's out there. Find out what it is and implement it. Hence the show, right? Remember that we have to. We have to do our work. We have to do work, our own work, to make life better. I mean, life is just always a work in progress. And acknowledge, you know, the things that we have to take responsibility for, acknowledge what our part is in the things that we don't like in our life, or what's helped contribute to the negative experiences, if any, and identify what those are, and then make some changes. And then a big part of it is forgiving ourselves. You know, it's important to have forgiveness in our life and to have peace. And, you know, in order to even forgive anyone else or anything else, we have to be able to find that for ourselves. And then vice versa. It just really works in tandem. Find a support system, seek professional or objective help, whether it's a therapist or spiritual counselor, or, you know, and then research what you can actually research, things that can be done. You can look into books or workshops or listening to stuff on tape, or but, you know, researching what can be done to overcome the challenges and work towards making life feel better. And my radio show is an example. So, and thank you, by the way, to everyone who said very positive feedback for last week's show with that it was very helpful and good reminders or new things that they've learned or things that has validated their own thoughts and what they want in their life. So it's always good for me to hear that and know that. And also feel free to ask any further questions or make any comments of things that you want to discuss or challenge. Okay. The next thing is recognizing your story that has made you stay stuck or that helps you stay stuck in your situation where you just kind of feel or it's led you to a place of feeling hopeless or helpless, and then start taking active steps to change that story. Okay. Someone had asked me, well, how do you change your story? How do you change what's happened in the past? And that's really what it is. Well, that's the very point in that it's how you can look at the story. You sometimes can't change the facts, but you can have a different perspective about the reasons for it or, your part that you've played in it versus just feeling that you were an innocent victim and that's going to be the way it is through life and you can't trust anyone and you have no power to make any changes or a difference. So the main part of it is looking at your perspective of the story and not letting it keep you stuck or helpless or hopeless in your present and going forward. And then acknowledging that, you know, you can take active steps to change your story moving forward. Learn the lessons and of the pain and the hurt and allow for it to create the wisdom and the strength that you need. And then gaining more tools and skills to cope with the challenges of life that we can't always escape, right? We can't change some of the things that that land in our lap, but how we handle it is definitely something within our power, far more than the other, or not being able to stop things that come in. And then know that while you're still alive, it's not the end of your story. Again, create new stories. Change the perspective of your old stories. I'm repeating myself. But surround yourself with positive, nurturing, honest, sincere energy, people, support system. Really try to remove yourself from the toxic, draining, destructive energies. Try to remove the thoughts that are toxic, draining, destructive. Try to avoid behaviors that are toxic, draining, and destructive. I'm one that always says birds of a feather flock together. I am very blessed with my wonderful with the people in my life. I'm very particular with whom I surround myself with on a constant basis. I would say the people that I'm closest to are just very thoughtful and considerate and compassionate and I always say thoughtful, but they really are so thoughtful. And down to earth and trying to work on not being judgmental towards people in life. And if they do, they try to catch themselves and just dedicated to trying to be a good person. So I'm very blessed to have that. Envision the life you want and how to be and list that all down. Make it and truly envision it as reality. Count your blessings. Try to find the gratitude in most things. Make a list of what they are and why they are. Avoid the all or nothing thinking, which is the kind of always, never, all good, all bad, you know, no one, everyone, etc. And then just be peace. Some people say I have to find peace. You don't have to find peace. You have to be peace. Expose yourself to feel good or funny stuff that can shift your energies. Really monitor your energies and allow for nurturing, caring, physical touch. So that's kind of a recap on most of the things we talked about last week. And again, if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. I think actually me recapping on this one made it sound more organized than last week. Because a lot of my stuff, it's a lot of the stuff I talk about it comes from an organic place. I just, like I said, I don't really want to be scripted, and then I want to make sure everyone understands what I'm saying, so I try to say it in different ways. So, anyway, okay. So going into, I mean, I do make notes for myself, which is sometimes why I sound lost, because I lose my place. Okay, so after that review, you know, there are these things now I want to just discuss, and they're vital things to consider. Okay, so in review of the things that we talked about, you know, there's something that needs to be said in that sometimes, no matter how many tools or tricks that you have learned or try to implement, and things just don't feel better. You know, one of the first things that I do with my clients is to try and assess for any physiological or medical issues. So please get medically checked. If things just are not feeling better, regardless of what you do, regardless of the things that you've learned, and things just, you just can't get out of this rut and you can't feel better, get medically checked. Because sometimes for whatever reasons, whether it be from any hereditary factors or environmental factors or experiences, you know, one can become chemically imbalanced. And, you know, being chemically imbalanced can affect hormone levels and brain functioning, other types of medical or physical issues that can cause these chemical imbalances that produce clinical depression or clinical anxiety. And so in order to make things better, you have to sometimes you need to know what's going on. And so if it is a chemical thing, then your approach to things may be different. And I'll touch on it as well later on. But it's very important to know if there is a physiological issue involved where, you know, there's sadness or stress that you just can't seem to get rid of. You know, for example, you know, some medical issues or health issues that can affect mood or anxiety can be things related to, like, blood sugar. You know, whether your blood sugar drops or elevates, being hyperglycemic or hypoglycemic. You know, whether you may have thyroid imbalances, that's a big thing as well. And a lot of people, and you have to kind of get checked on a full thyroid scale, not the basic. You have to request for the full scale, because a lot of times that can be missed. Sometimes for men, testosterone hormone levels affect their mood or their depression or anxiety. For women, estrogen and sometimes it can be related to a deficiency in the necessary vitamins that or minerals that your body needs, like vitamin D. That's a big one. I was found to have vitamin D deficiency actually when I was diagnosed with several medical issues, which was explaining why I just was in such a low funk last year. It was very hard to have the energy to do a lot of stuff and to, you know, regardless of all the skills and tools that I had mastered, that I know, teach, and have mastered and continue to work on, things weren't working. So having been diagnosed with several health issues had finally made sense. So please get that checked. Okay, so that's an important factor. And then going back to some other possible chemical imbalances, sometimes clinical depression and anxiety can hit because, well, it can be hard to see because it's not physically visual. It's not observable on any kind of physical level. Like you don't see a scar, you don't see open wounds, although behaviors can be very telling. But oftentimes depression and anxiety, clinical depression and anxiety, can go undetected and undiagnosed. You know, and clinical depression and anxiety can be hereditary. It can be genetic. So it's good to find whether there's a pattern in your family. And again, these kind of things are important so that you won't get to this place of blaming yourself. I hear so many people, and I felt it myself at times, where, you know, we can get into a place of judging ourselves, like, what's wrong with me? What, am I crazy? Or why? You don't feel like a good person. You feel that there's something wrong. And sometimes it really has nothing to do with what you're doing, but the physiological health or medical issues or chemical imbalances that is beyond you, right? But there are things to do about it, so that's the good thing. And actually, also, many struggling with alcoholism and drug addiction don't know they have a chemical imbalance, and so they don't realize they're self-medicating to feel better. There is a high correlation of people with alcoholism and drug addiction who have clinical depression, who are bipolar, or who have an anxiety disorder, and they never knew. Which will explain, like, why all of a sudden when they ingest alcohol or drugs, they just feel better. Unfortunately, it's not regulated, and then you can create a physical addiction to that, where your body will actually need it, and that, which can be destructive to your body as well. And then can lead to death, unfortunately, and that's unfortunately more common than many know. So again, please find out whether there is a physiological, medical health issue, mental health issue. Some people think that, you know, they're depressed because they did something wrong. No, sometimes it truly is just genetic in how your chemical makeup, in your chemical makeup. So, again, there are things to do about that. There's a very significant piece of this whole entire topic, that the topic of, you know, what can be done to make life feel better. And this is something that I swear by, and I feel that cannot be ignored, and it's the topic of spirituality. I'm going to take a quick break and be right back after a couple of minutes. But please stay tuned for this royal commercial, and I'll be right back. Thanks.
Have you always wanted to make a difference but weren't quite sure how to do it? ROYAL, or Realizing Our Youth as Leaders, Inc., is a nonprofit agency dedicated to preparing youth for life and leadership. ROYAL was created in response to a great need for providing effective services for the most disadvantaged and high-risk youth who are consistently falling through the cracks. ROYAL has been successful in reaching the most challenging kids in the community with their innovative, creative, and therapeutic approaches, serving youth who have experienced significant abuse, neglect, abandonment, and living life through harsh conditions. ROYAL needs your help. To help sponsor a child and support the hard work and mission of ROYAL, visit their website at www.royalinc.org. That's ROYALINC.org. Or call 415-643-7117. That's 415-643-7117. ROYAL, helping our youth.
Hi, I'm back, and thank you for staying with me. I really wanted to just put it out there again for ROYAL before I go on to this very significant part of the show, of my topic. And again, that's in spirituality. And, you know, I just want to make this clear. You don't have to relate spirituality, or at least in my discussion, to any specific religious doctrines or beliefs. For me, I define spirituality more as a connection to a deeper meaning, definitely a higher power, belief in something that is bigger than us. Something that gives us meaning. For me, I feel that this is something also that drives me and dwells within me and is all things good, all things positive, all things loving. And so, you know, many people have different beliefs, and I'm not one to tell someone how they're supposed to believe things. You know, I just feel that spirituality it gives us the ability to have true meaning in life. And I see spirituality as faith. And, you know, for religion is the choice of how one might want to express their faith. But with spirituality, It allows for us to go beyond the physical, material self or life. It allows us for us to have a certain sense of surrender and belief that things can go beyond ourselves. Like that things beyond ourselves can be part of making things or helping things get better. I live my life very spiritually connected, and although I work hard, I utilize my intelligence, my logic, my strength, my wisdom, my experiences, emotions, lessons learned, all the tools that I know, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There are times that just no matter what, things can feel hopeless and helpless. And I'll just pray. I'll pray and I'll meditate. And, you know, everyone has their own form of prayer and meditation. My form of prayer and meditation is just going within, deep within and having a deep conversation with what I consider or honor as my higher power. People can label it all kinds of different labels. You know, for me, I label my higher power God. And I also feel that there is just a vastness and thing that is probably far beyond my, it's just so vast that it's something that it's much larger than what my human mind can possibly comprehend, but for whatever it is, what I do understand of it is good for me and necessary and meaningful. And for others, you know, it can be something else. They can label, they can have a different label, they can have a different perspective. But I find that in its true essence, that the humility of knowing and believing that there's something higher and bigger than ourselves, that's beyond any physical, scientific, rational, logical explanation. There's something else that exists that actually can bring about change and miracles and beauty when there's no explanation or even hope to make things happen. But that doesn't mean that, you know, that's always going to happen. There are things that I think we may just not understand at the time, things that may not make sense at the time of why things are happening. Or why is it that I'm praying for this and it's not happening? You know, for me, I believe when I pray that I pray for things to get better. It may not be the way I envision or want or expect it to be, but there will always be some answer. There will always be something that'll make sense. And I can truly say that in all my 40 plus years of life that I've experienced, that things have made sense and actually shown to be the right thing, regardless of how frustrated I was that it didn't come to fruition at the time I wanted and needed it, or how I needed it to happen. It showed later, and sometimes it's immediate. So I'm big on that. I'm big on prayer, praying and meditating. It doesn't have to be any, or at least for me, I don't need to have any memorized or recited prayers. But for many, that helps. Recited or repeated recitation of a prayer, or some will pray the rosary, some will have repeated chanting, it can bring you to a trance state of meditation, which can bring about even brain changes. There's been scientific research that has shown the changes neurologically in one that is in a state of meditation or prayer. There was brain mapping that actually showed that, and which that can also create significant shifts in your energy. So let me see, that's an important part that I found to be interesting when I learned that. And I'm going to say something that may be offensive, and I'm sorry if I will offend anyone, but I do believe that there is an arrogance and ignorance to those who judge spirituality. And it's funny because as much as I don't want to engage in a judging energy, I tend to judge those who are judgmental. And I work on that. Try to catch it and then shift my thoughts or energy about that. But I do find that for those who have a judgment regarding the ridiculousness of spirituality or a belief in a higher power, I do feel that there is an ignorance there, and an arrogance that I wish didn't exist. And again, I'm sorry if I offend any of my listeners. You know, I'm not trying to preach, and I'm not even trying to say how you need to develop, you know, some sort of spirituality. To me, spirituality is very open. It's very broad. It doesn't have to be defined for some. For others, it's necessary. That's how I feel. And some people may disagree with me on that, too. But, you know, that's what I believe, and that is what has worked for me and what I have seen for many that has been helpful in healing. I wanted to add one thing. Hold on. Let me put my thoughts around this. Well, I'm just going to say this, is that, you know, the stuff that I've said is definitely something that I strongly believe in. Everything that I add here on the show is, again, my hope in that it provides the help or support for people who are looking for something deeper or to evolve or to grow. And there might be things that you may not agree with. And so I say, you know, take what works for you and leave what doesn't. But this is my radio show, and I'm going to say what I feel is the what is truly helpful in life, and this is a very big part of it. And, you know, I provide this information for free on my radio show, so if this is something that you don't choose to respond to, and I'm being kind of, it almost sounds defensive, but I've had a lot of discussions with people who I know and can consider to be some good people, but may have strong feelings about the discussion of spirituality. I believe, as a therapist and in the helping profession, that or healing profession, that spirituality has to be a big part of that. Now, the way you express it, that's up to you. As long as you're not hurting someone intentionally or hurting yourself intentionally. But spirituality is about helping bring healing and evolving and strength and growth and peace of mind. And it's my hope that, you know, me discussing this is just received in its purest and well-intended form. Okay. So going back to this, I feel that, you know, having the some sort of spiritual value or connection, and even a spiritual journey that helps us make sense of the world when things just don't make sense and or seems too unfair, you know, the spirituality can truly bring peace. For me, I pray for wisdom. I constantly pray for wisdom and strength and compassion and flexibility and resources and healing and fulfillment and humility. I mean, that's what I pray for on most days. There are times where things just can feel so overwhelming. And, you know, I make the choices in my life, but and I don't want to blame anyone for the choices I make, but sometimes the choices I make are huge undertakings to where I carry a lot of pressure and responsibility for many things. And again, that's my choice. I'm drawn to it. I am called to it. I respond to it. I complain about it. And then I have to pray about it. And sometimes really at my most despondent or desperate times, I will just break down and pray for energy and just to feel better, because you know, one of the things in that is my work in progress is to not take on too much. You know, and it's nothing that I would complain about in terms of what I do. It's just keeping things balanced. I feel very fulfilled in my life. So, and I respond to things that are visions that I see in my head that feel like it's what I need to do or what I want to do. But that's a lot. a lot of stuff that enters my head. So I will just pray, and I will pray hard, and sometimes I will just, like I said, in my deepest desperation and despondency, I will break down and just really cry out for help, and at the very least, just, if things can't change right now, to just have the ability to feel better. And honestly, it eventually helps, because here I am. Knowing the skills and the tools, at least on these levels, that have helped me get through what I would consider very hard times. And I think really that's why I'm successful in being very effective in helping others, because I have the humility of knowing and acknowledging that I'm human and that I'm far from perfect. Yet there is such a healthy component in that I'm working on stuff all the time, and I have experienced much success in life in overcoming a lot of things that could have been worse. And I have been a part of witnessing and observing and supporting many who are on that same journey. And so even like with Royal, running Royal, our nonprofit, or even some personal challenges that have come up that just have scared me to death, I would just pray and pray and pray. And those who I'm closest to will always hear, like Maggie, they'll ask me, Maggie, what can I do? What can I do? And sometimes I'll just say, please just pray. I just need that. okay. And so, you know, and things that help enhance my spirituality is kind of, again, staying connected and having my meditative conversations and listening or observing for answers, whether it's things that kind of pop up into my head or I have a funny story. I don't know if I'll get to it, but maybe I'll share it in a few. But sometimes things will just pop into my head, or all of a sudden just kind of a feeling out of nowhere, or just kind of this miraculous thing that just swoops in. It's really neat to be able to be a part of experiencing and observing this whole thing. So, and it's lovely, and I feel grateful and blessed that I know this and I've experienced it, and I know it to be effective and true. So I guess what I'll briefly tell the story. This may sound crazy, and maybe I said it in the last show, but I'm going to share it again. So when I was sick, it was going on 4 weeks, the past few weeks ago, and I had to plan for the Royal Unity Gala, and I had to, I was missing, week after week of the radio show, and of course I had to see my clients, and but I was just feeling horrible. I was feeling awful, and I had this cough that just wouldn't go away, and which is why I couldn't do the radio show, because I couldn't stop coughing. And when you cough, it kind of knocks your body out, and so and I felt very weak, and I was just a mess. And so I would pray, Lord, please help me feel better. Please help me get things together. Please help, please, all the prayers. But at one point, it was just, I reached that point of just so, I felt so broken. And so I was in this very intense state of praying and meditating. And really, I was like, Lord, I can't deal with this anymore, please, and I've got to feel better, please help me, please help me. So while I'm praying this, I have this vision of Starbucks in my head, which is, I think I did talk about this, but I'm going to tell the story again anyway. Anyway, so I was having this vision of Starbucks through the whole prayer, and I was getting ready to go to work, and I was so weak. I was so weak and so dizzy that it took me forever to get dressed, and the thought of driving, getting in the car and driving was just overwhelming. So I tried to look for, I decided to go to Starbucks because I kept having this vision in my head. And so the side note is that I never drink coffee. And I think you guys have heard some of my stories before about caffeine and how it really affects me. And so I barely drink caffeine, which is why it affects me. And I don't really care for coffee. So I seek out a drive-through Starbucks because I'm too weak to go get down from my car to order it. And I do this as I'm driving to work, again, very dizzy, very weak. And so I order a venti, what is it, sugar-free vanilla soy latte. And within, I would even say no more than 20 minutes. It was like between 15 to 30 minutes. I felt I could conquer the world. I got to work. I sped through my clients. I was working in between clients, and I stayed at the office till about 11, and I got home and worked till like 2 or 3 in the morning. So I couldn't believe where all this energy came from. Actually, of course, the caffeine, but I couldn't believe that it affected me to that point. And to top that, I stopped coughing, which had even made things much better because the coughing was like wearing me out or wearing my body out. And so, you know, I couldn't help but feel that in my prayer, this random thought of Starbucks, which is just so, I'm so not one that really cares to go and get coffee or whatever, I just don't, that pops into my head during prayer, and I cannot help but feel that that was an answer to my prayer of how to help myself, right? Because I believe that in our prayers or in things that we seek out, sometimes it's not the thing that just plops into our lap, but things that come to us that allow us to make a difference, for us to do, to make a difference, or to have something better. And then it's up to us if we're going to respond to that or listen to that or explore that. You know, it's always that saying, God helps those who help themselves, right? So being open. You know, some people will pray and pray and pray, but then they don't want to listen, or they are closed off to whatever answers might be kind of showing up in front of them. Or they will be so focused on how they want the answer to be that they will neglect the other things. And I know there's one person in particular that I'm close to, very close to, that I know is listening and would, and knows that this is relating to them. Okay, so that's a big thing on prayer and spirituality and belief and being open and being humble and going beyond our own self. That's logical or physical, and having faith. And you know, and one thing is that I love the fact that I can love things. I love the fact that I can recognize things as blessings or miracles. That's so, to me, that's a huge blessing. And I pray that I don't lose perspective on life and allow myself to take, you know, those things or people for granted, even though it is so easy to do and it happens, because I will do that. And then I have to catch myself and redirect myself and then do the necessary steps to try and shift that. you know, I have to pray for the ability to forgive myself all the time, or to forgive others, because I'm human and I have the emotions and feelings that can be hurt and anger. But I have to do that because I can have peace and be peace, right? Because we cannot find happiness without peace. So, you know, a spiritual component is a vital part of life and feeling or getting or being better. I'm going to extend. This show is supposed to end in 5 minutes. I'm going to try and extend it a few more minutes so that I don't have to rush off. It'll just be a few more minutes. Hold on 1 second. Okay. I'm going to at just about 5 minutes, so bear with me. Okay, I think we're set. Okay, going back, now I can feel better. okay, so I hope that has been drilled in enough. The spiritual component is a vital part of feeling, getting, and being better. And then just belief in that can happen. So it's really important. I just love, you know, I this is going to kind of bust out my mom a bit, but my mom is in her late 60s, and, you know, she can be very headstrong. And I'm just hearing this humility in her at this age right now, where she is really open and wanting to find the answers. And she's constantly relating back to the radio show, which is funny because she just doesn't listen otherwise. But she could now think that she has the answers because she's hearing it via the radio versus me telling her in person. But, you know, she will say stuff like, you know, I realized I need to change this, and I want to change, and I want to feel better. And so there's such a beauty in what I'm experiencing from her, and her acknowledging that she still has things to work on. And I do the same thing. And please, I encourage everyone to be at that same place of being humble enough to know that there are things in your life that can be worked on, and then actually work on it. Okay, so Mom, if you hear that, be proud of yourself. Know that I'm proud of you, and looking forward and optimistic for the good stuff ahead. Okay, so another tool is physical exercise or physical exertion. Many people already know this, but one of the number one interventions for stress and depression is physical exercise. And I know that sometimes this just can be an extremely or extra challenging, especially if you're depressed or stressed or you're not. You're not used to it. And if you're stressed or depressed, you know, you can be just so emotionally, physically, mentally, or spiritually drained that the thought of even exerting anything physically is just absurd or unrealistic. But it's not. I always say take baby steps. Sometimes I'll tell my clients, and I've done this myself. Sometimes when someone is just so down, and they just can't even stand the thought of going to the gym or walking around the block or whatever, you know, I just say, if you can even just walk in place, you know, if you're able to walk, walk in place while you're watching TV. or walk in place in the shower. there was this book that I read, and it's about it's exercising through, I think it says, walk away, walk into help, something like that. And it was talking about to at least walk a mile every day, and that's 2,000 steps. And that's 2,000 steps that you can stand in place. So when I had just first read that, I was really kind of intrigued with that whole thing. And the thought of 2,000 steps was just too much. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I will just do, 200 steps 10 times a day, which is really easy because 200 steps is really not that much. And so I would, get into the shower and I would step. I would walk in place in the shower, or I would be trying to wash the dishes, which was pretty complicated, but stepping with that too, or like I said, when watching TV, taking some steps. So 2,000 steps is supposed to be a mile, and that's about 15 to 20 minutes. And it really is helpful. It's just one of the things that sometimes I forget or lose sight of in trying to juggle the rest of life. But anything, I mean, you can sit and watch TV and do leg lifts. You know, you can be lying down and doing leg lifts. You can do arm lifts, do arm circles, whatever. But just starting to get the physical stuff going if you are depressed or stressed, because that actually starts to move the endorphins. It gets the endorphins moving and it gets it going. And that can create, when you start to get it to that place of where it's really going, you know, it creates that natural high or feel good feeling. That's that runner's high. Or if you love to dance, then just dance by yourself. If you want to lose yourself, I used to dance and teach hula, Tahitian, and belly dancing. Sometimes I would just kind of, well, heel and Tahitian to kids, but there are times that I would just kind of shut myself off, turn off all the lights, light some candles, put on my belly dancing music or whatever, and then I would just kind of lose myself. And not only is that physical exertion, but you can also get into a trance state when you really lose yourself in dance. So have fun with it. You know, go shopping. walk every aisle in the store. Things that bring about physical exertion. And what happens is that your muscles start to get used to it, and then it seeks it out more, so then you do it more. What happens is that we can get out of our pattern, and then we have to start over to get back into the routine. But it's always something that we can go back to. Okay. Another thing to consider is, I think this is the last thing. Let me see. No, almost. Another thing to consider is to really look at what you're ingesting or taking into your body, your diet or even your medication or what you're drinking. Food is just as powerful medicinally. It's just as effective as medicine or drugs. You know, it affects our body, our physical chemistry. I am a very strong believer of the eating right for your blood type, it's about breaking down the differences between the different blood types. That's O, A, AB, and B. So there's the four different blood types, and then it really shows how each blood type is how it responds to the specific foods, and because it shows the differences between the blood types. For example, I'm a blood type O, And blood type O's have very acidic digestive systems. So the food that we need to eat, is we need to have more alkaline food versus acid, because acid on acid can make things worse, whereas a blood type A can have a they have a very alkaline stomach, so they need a lot of acidic foods to help process and digest the foods that they eat. So a lot of people just have never heard of this. I saw it on Oprah a while ago and many years ago, and have noticed that when I have actually followed the what is right for my blood type, I just feel this significant change in my energy, and it's not a placebo effect. I'm pretty in tune with myself enough to know whether it's a placebo effect or not. You know, there's a great book on eating right for your blood type for diabetes as well. So, you know, it's a great thing to look at, but even if that's not what you're into, you know, there's the Ayurvedic diet. There is where you can see what kind of body type you have. I think it's kind of like the Vita, the Pitta, and the Dosha, and see what kind of foods you respond to as well. So it's very similar concepts. And it's, you know, and so it's important that we just don't assume that just because almonds are great for one blood type or for someone, that it's going to apply for everyone. This is why different diets work different for different people. You know, the whole Atkins or high protein diet can work for a lot of people, but not for many, for others. And the reason it works so well for so many people is because a majority of us humans are, there's a higher percentage of blood type O's, which is what it works well for blood type O's is a high protein diet. Anyway, if you want to look into that, there is that book that I strongly recommend looking into. It's called Eating Right for Your Blood Type, and it's by Dr. Peter Diamo. Or is it Diamo? But it's called Eating Right for Your Blood Type. And you're going to have to find out what your blood type is, but it's pretty easy. There are some quick kits that you can get, or you can order, or you can just ask your doctor for a blood test and request for them to give you that information. Because they typically don't, unless they need to, find out what your blood type is. Okay, and you know, and then another thing to know is that sugar can be a depressant. A lot of people don't know that. Sugar, and some people can be gluten-free. They can be allergic to gluten. So that'll trip up their whole body chemistry or their brain chemistry. So it's important to know if you have any food allergies or see how you feel when you eat certain things. Sugar, actually, it's been said that if it were to go in front of the FDA now, it wouldn't pass. So I don't know how accurate that is, but that is what has been said. If you want to find out more about it, look into it more. I'm just saying that's what I know and what I've been told, and I have definitely researched the effects of sugar, or the refined processed sugar. So again, we know that we can be affected by food, sugar, drinks, medication. More, you know, as we get older, we process things differently. So we can be affected by these things more than when we were younger. I mentioned medication because sometimes if we're taking more than one medication, even if we're just taking one medication, you know, medication will affect each of us differently. Again, kind of going back to that concept of, you know, our blood type or our body type, what it responds to. And then even in the research of the efficacy of medication or how medication works, they can do research on how that specific medication works, but they can't always say what that turns into if you take another type of medication, and you know how it would affect you chemically with that mixture of two or more medications together. A lot of people would never know that unless they specifically do research for that cocktail of medication if you're on that. You know, there are some people who will swear by the fact that, you know, when they take medication, they've gotten worse. I've seen both. I've seen great things to where when one is on the right medication or they're medicated, they are functioning far better. And then I've also seen people deteriorate or have worse reactions on medication than not. And I have experienced both. And then know that, you know, medications can also create more imbalances, which can create depression and or anxiety. So that's important to know, because if you're trying to figure out how to make yourself feel better in life emotionally, if you're taking chemical stuff that is preventing that, you know, then you will just have to address that from that place. And how to do that, this is where I'm going to discuss it. Now, there's definitely the Western medication, the Western philosophy of medication, prescription drugs. You know, I mentioned earlier a physical exercise. You know, and then there's the Eastern philosophy. And I have referred many clients who are opposed to the Western philosophy. I have referred them to acupuncture. Chinese herbs or a form of herbology. Yoga can also bring about a meditative state, and including the physical exercise, you know, alongside of all the other stuff that I've talked about. But some specific treatment definitely you can consider is appropriate nutrition, assessing your medication, acupuncture, or an Eastern philosophy approach, herbs, Chinese herbs or herbology, making sure that you have the right amount of vitamins and minerals in your body. Okay, and then finally, just finding new things that you may discover that you can love. There's just too many things in this life that we can explore, and sometimes we just get so stuck in our patterns or we get stuck in a rut, and we get comfortable. We don't even know what is out there, so we don't even know that we can explore that. But there's always ways. I mean, you can just Google something and say, what are some fulfilling experiences exciting new things to explore. That's the good thing about this technology stuff. So anyway, okay, so I think that I have pretty much covered a lot of the main things. You know, I really wanted to say the reason this topic has been very important to me is because I myself have just been going through a lot of things that have been stressful and overwhelming. So I really had to tap into my tricks and my tools and my secrets to keep myself not only at a functioning level, but at a good, healthy, positive level. I was saying that I've been telling everyone that, you know, there are so many things that if I were to focus on it, it can be so overwhelming and can create so much anxiety and stress that it'll just lead to some sort of breakdown. And, you know, that's just not going to help anything. So a big part of what I've done is just look at every possible thing that I can consider wonderful or beautiful or kind or good or loving or supportive. And there's so many to see if we look for it. Just like I said, if we look for something negative, we're going to find it. And if we look for something positive, we can find it. And so we have to find it. We have to look for it. We have to find it. And at the very least, be a part of making it. You know, if I could live my life in and hope for everyone for the same, to just be able to laugh at stuff and have fun, that would be so ideal. You know, my best friend and I went to we went to see a band, Foreverland. I know one of the musicians there, Manny Angel, and I had been wanting to watch them. They're a tribute to Michael Jackson, and we didn't know what to expect. I very much support the Latin rock community, and my best friend and I usually go to stuff. We went to their show for the first time, and it was just us. And God, we just had the best time. We just danced by ourselves. We danced with each other. We danced by ourselves. We danced on the dance floor. We danced by the front door. We danced off. And we were just laughing and smiling, making fun of ourselves, making fun of each other. And there's, you know, you just can't buy that stuff. You can't buy the good feelings and the laughter. And, well, you can buy it if you go buy a ticket somewhere that'll make you laugh. But, I mean, in terms of the experience of it and just the fun feelings and, you know, and then really appreciating that and then reveling in the fact that you get to experience that fun. So just be open and look for the good stuff and make it happen and be with people who can help bring that about, and be a part of making that happen for others as well, and pray and be humble and going over and over. Anyway, I have so much love in my heart right now, and I'm sending it out to everyone, and I send my prayers and blessings to everyone in hopes that you have a wonderful week. Please try and support Royal in whatever way you can, whether you come to the Royal Unity Gala in concert or make a donation. And if you can't do that for us, you know, make a difference somehow, somewhere with others or another cause. Okay, so love and blessings to everyone. If anyone has any further questions or things that they want to check in with me about or comment, feel free to email me at info@maggiedevera.com. Again, info@maggiedevera.com. And my website is www.maggiedevera.com. I have a newsletter that gets sent out, so if you want to receive that, email me with that as well. Okay, have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.